Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a new smartphone called the Vivo X21. Now, the Vivo X21 is quite interesting because it is probably the first smartphone in the market that has an in-display fingerprint sensor. Yes, you're right. It means there is a fingerprint sensor right on the display. All you have to do is put your fingerprint on a certain part of the display and you can unlock the phone. So this probably is the USP of this smartphone. And to talk about this, we have our reviewer. That's Aditya Shenoy.
Hello.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So I think first things first, let's just like dive into the meat of the smartphone. The fingerprint sensor. Now, I understand that this is not like the prototype phone that Vivo showed off at MWC, where the bottom half of the display was entirely a fingerprint sensor. Like the bottom half of the display, you could put your finger anywhere and it would probably unlock it. But this phone does it slightly differently, right?
Yeah. So the first time, you know, Vivo displayed the fingerprint in-display fingerprint scanner is the Vivo X20 Plus UD. And the implementation of the Vivo X21 is similar. Like you have a tiny portion on the display, which shows you like a fingerprint symbol. And that's where you place your finger on it to unlock the device. The Apex was a prototype. They kind of showcased it at, I guess, CES, wherein they half of the display was a fingerprint sensor. You can tap anywhere and it would unlock the phone. So this isn't that. This is the first generation in-display fingerprint sensor, and the X21 is the first phone to come in India with, this feature.
All right. So the pricing of this smartphone leaves a lot to be desired, is my understanding. So it's retailing at $35,999.
Yeah. So when I saw the price at the launch, like I was streaming it, and I saw the price as kind of disappointed, because honestly for that price it's going up against the OnePlus 6, which is very, very well equipped. Like it's got the latest top end processor, and it kind of makes the Vivo look a little overpriced for basically someone comparing the spec sheets. So yeah, I think the pricing could have got it lower, but again it depends. Like this is a first generation in-display fingerprint scanner, so there's no way of knowing how much it actually costed them. You know, I think the moment Vivo has more phones with in-display, that probably might get the price down on that.
Yeah, but we've seen a broader trend with how Vivo operates, right? So before we go into that trend, one point I'd like to make is that for those who don't know, Vivo and OnePlus are owned by the same parent company called BBK Electronics, which is a China-based company.
Yeah.
So it's sort of funny to see that Vivo is essentially launching a phone that is priced higher than the OnePlus 6, but is inferior to the OnePlus 6 in almost every way, except for that in-display fingerprint sensor.
Yeah.
So
yeah, but looking at it, I think the pricing, like if I look at it this way, wherein, you know, it's a first generation product and they've put in a lot of money when it comes to research and development or whatever. Even phones, when we had like typical fingerprint scanners, like the one that are very, very common nowadays, it was kind of restricted to only high-end flagships, and those were expensive. Like, you know, even when I think the iPhone 5S came out, it was much more expensive than the iPhone 5. There was a huge difference because of it. And over a period of time, when the fingerprint scanner became very common, that's when the price started coming down. So I think something of that sort is what you can expect with the in-display fingerprint scanner as well. So, you know, looking at when it's kind of common with most other smartphones, that's when you'll see it competing with, other devices.
Yeah.
In the same price range.
But as of now, like the OnePlus 6 has completely cannibalized the whole market position of the Vivo X21.
For me, as a buyer, I'm not looking for a party piece or something wherein I can say that, oh, this my phone has an in-display fingerprint scanner, I would probably go for the OnePlus 6.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the in-display scanner may be like a thing that you show off to your friends or like to new people at a party or something, but it's not really.
And honestly, the novelty will wear off soon, because the phone also has face recognition. Vivo calls it face access. And while I was using it, it actually unlocks the phone a lot faster before I even place my finger on the phone. So it kind of makes the in-display fingerprint scanner not work, because, you know, it's kind of ready to unlock the phone right away.
Yeah, but so, I'm not too convinced about the whole like face unlock feature in general. It's still like too early in the life cycle of a of this face recognition unlock thing for it to be like really trustworthy. I mean, just 2 days before we're recording this podcast, which is on the 31st of May, 2018,
yeah.
We saw this news report about, you can check it out on Gadget360 as well, about how some guy just printed a picture and he fooled a OnePlus 6 into unlocking.
Yeah.
And OnePlus's response was essentially that there are other methods to unlock the phone, so use those instead.
Wow.
Which is just like a pretty shameful, to be honest. I mean, why would you ship a feature that can be fooled like this? And, you know, then it works fast, sure, but it can be fooled, right? So I don't really trust it entirely.
Well, fingerprint, you know, when it comes to face unlock as well, there are multiple methods on how a company kind of implements it. Like Google also has its own inbuilt face unlock feature, which is available from Android Lollipop, if I'm not wrong. And earlier it could be fooled, like you could show a photo to it and it would unlock the phone. But over time, Google had put this liveliness or an active alert wherein you it needs you to blink your eyes to kind of recognize it. OnePlus probably has bypassed it because, you know, the guy in the video basically held a pretty much a life-size photo of another guy's face. Yeah, a cutout. And that unlocked it. So basically, there's no liveliness check or whatever. And OnePlus probably skipped putting it in their face unlock feature. So yeah, like face recognition implementation completely depends on the company. So it looks like OnePlus clearly did not bother, you know, kind of getting it right in the first go.
Yeah, I think they were too focused on the notch and other power-packed hardware features.
Yeah.
But this biometric authentication clearly was not on top of their list.
Yeah. But, you know, looking at that, the fingerprint sensor is kind of secure because you'll need to physically put your finger on the phone to unlock it. Like, be it a regular scanner that's there on most of our phones nowadays or an in-display for that matter.
Yeah, but in general, I wouldn't call any biometric authentication thing very secure.
Absolutely.
Because we have to understand that this is, we are walking a tightrope where it is security versus convenience, right?
Yeah.
So we need a basic level of security, but we also don't need it to be too complicated.
Yeah.
Like, would you really want to take a USB key of some sort to unlock your phone at every single
there's
point?
There's
you
no
wouldn't,
point.
Right?
See,
yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I think you summed it up perfectly because it all comes down to security versus convenience. If it's way secure, it is not going to be convenient. And if it's going to be really convenient, it's not going to be 100% secure.
Yeah.
So I think it's for the companies to decide how they can get it right. But to a large extent, I think a fingerprint sensor has kind of nailed it, like, you know, when it comes to convenience versus security.
Yeah. It can also be fooled. There are ways to do it. Like,
well,
you know, we've seen those reports about how 3 or 4 year old children figure out that, okay, they are playing their favorite game and they need an in-app purchase. All they have to do is take their mother's or father's finger to the phone and buy stuff worth thousands of dollars or rupees or whatever. And, you know, it's not exactly proven to be something like highly secure that way. But, you know, at least we can say that, okay, at this point, it's probably more foolproof than a face unlock thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, over time, maybe that can change as this technology evolves.
Yeah.
So moving on to the Vivo Trends thing, which I mentioned earlier. So if you remember, which is the Vivo Apex showing off that under-display fingerprint sensor thing that came after Apple unlock, Apple showed off the face unlock thing, but they removed the fingerprint sensor, right?
Yeah.
With the iPhone 10. So we were sort of like been ahead of the curve technologically, but there is one criticism that is leveled at Vivo, which is that they quite often they launch these phones that are essentially prototypes or technologies that are not fully ready for the mass market. And some people say that this is probably because Vivo does not sell phones in the same volume as maybe an Apple does. Now, I'm not saying that Vivo is a small company by any stretch of the imagination. It's a huge company. But if you notice, I mean, you can't probably say that, okay, the Vivo X21 will sell as many units as the iPhone 10. But, you know, over, if you look at the number of models Vivo sells, over the course of 30, 40 models or so, Vivo will probably like be selling more than iPhones.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
no, but even when you look at it, see, when it comes to new phones, most manufacturers look at creating a distinction, like, you know, what makes their model stand out from the others. Now, when you look at the Pixels or something, well, it's Google hardware and software. You look at Samsung, it's like Samsung reliability and the Infinity display. But when it comes to Vivo, for them, they've kind of figured out that the easiest way is to kind of get the first phone out there with a particular feature. Like the Vivo V9, that was the first Android phone in India to come with a notch. And that was their main thing. They completely skipped out on the others. Like the camera wasn't all that great. The processor also was kind of over, you know, like underpowered for what it was asking. And even when you look at the Vivo X21, it's again the same thing. It's like, you know, they want to be the first people to have an in-display fingerprint sensor.
Yeah, and that, in some ways, the Oppo F7, which was priced cheaper, 1,000 rupees cheaper than the Vivo V9, performed better.
Yeah,
so, I mean, Vivo, I don't know what this company is doing. They're cannibalizing their own products and they're putting out products out there just because they want to be the first to market rather than putting out something that's really good.
Yeah, I think
good.
The first to market is Vivo's strategy. Like, if you look at what they've been doing this year, even late last year, it's basically ship the first smartphone with a particular feature to the market and kind of hope that it catches on or, you know, get sales for them.
Yeah, throw a new thing at the wall and see if it sticks.
Sticks.
So now, keeping that in mind, can you talk about the fingerprint sensor on the Vivo X21 and tell us if this is a prototype or if it works like just as well as, say, a fingerprint sensor on the OnePlus 5T?
Okay. So, first of all, in display, like, this is the first product. So, I would consider it as like a first attempt and I kind of excuse it because it is a little slow. Like the first generation fingerprint scanners, like the physical fingerprint scanners when we had it on smartphones, they weren't blazing fast. But over a course of one or two years, we have seen them improving. And I kind of hope that it's the same thing for the in-display fingerprint sensor. Now, talking strictly about the X21, well, it has an optical sensor that's placed under the display. And it has an AMOLED display, which kind of lights up. So when you place your finger on it, the pixels around the optical fingerprint sensor light up so that it kind of bounces light off your finger. And it captures the fingerprint impression that's there on the glass. And that's how the optical fingerprint scanner works. Now, this thing is not as fast as a fingerprint scanner. Like the scanners on the OnePlus 5, OnePlus 5T, even the OnePlus 6 are really fast. Like you can tap the the scanner once and it will unlock. It's not the same with the in-display scanner. You will have to place your finger on it for at least 1 or 2 seconds. And to kind of not make it look like it's slow, Vivo has added animations. And it's also kind of necessary because when you place your finger on it, it has to light up that portion of the display so that the optical scanner can scan your fingerprint. And because of which the animation is there, like it takes time. It will take a second or two to scan your fingerprint because of which it shows you an animation to kind of fool you that it's actually working fast.
Yeah, so just to describe this for our listeners, when you pick up this phone, the entire screen is black, but they use an AMOLED display, right?
Yeah, so it's an AMOLED display, so selective pixels light up.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a feature of this OLED technology, which is that you can, like, this is how manufacturers are doing that always-on display, where you can see only the time and certain important things like some notifications, but the rest of the display is just completely black. So on this Vivo X21, what you see is the entire screen is black, but there is one portion towards the bottom third of the display where you can see a fingerprint icon.
Logo.
Yeah, it's glowing
so,
there.
Yeah. So basically what an AMOLED panel gives you the option is you can pretty much switch off the entire display and selectively light up whichever pixels you want. So that's an advantage of the AMOLED display. And even always on display, well, a couple of manufacturers have also implemented it on an LCD display. But like on a true AMOLED display, it also saves battery life because on an LCD, you have the entire backlit panel glowing as well, which kind of drains the battery. And the other thing is an AMOLED display is to me, like, you know, from what I can understand about the optical fingerprint sensor, it has to be an AMOLED display primarily because you only need the area around your finger when you're placing it on the display to light up. On an LCD, you'll pretty much light up the entire display, which makes it very hard for the optical sensor. Now, it's a CMOS sensor underneath, which kind of captures the impression your fingerprint makes with the display when you're pushing it on it. And it captures that and kind of figures out, okay, if it's an authentic finger and then unlocks it.
Hmm.
So that is how it works. And it's not possible on an LCD. Well, it might be possible in the future when you have better optical fingerprint sensors. But at the moment, it works best with an AMOLED display. So, yeah, that's how the in-display fingerprint works.
Yeah, so the animation also is quite slick. Like, you actually just, like tap that thing and then it shows off a weird futuristic sci-fi animation type thing to fool you into thinking that it's actually working and it's unlocking and all
because,
that.
Because the optical sensor takes that time because it will need to scan the portion. Like, when it's an optical sensor, it pretty much clicks an image. Like, you know, it doesn't actually do it, but for the sake of understanding, it pretty much captures what it can see on the glass and then scans it to see if it's authentic.
Hmm.
And that does take time because the optical scanners are not fast enough. Again, it's a first generation product. So over a period of time, you can expect the optical scanners to become faster, wherein you can simply tap. And there are a few occasions where, you know, if you, like on the scanner, you mostly just tap it. Like a physical scanner, you tap your finger and it will unlock. On this thing, it sometimes gives you a message saying that you need to press, like put a little bit of pressure so that your fingerprint is clearly visible through the glass for the scanner. So yeah, it's not seamless like a physical fingerprint scanner, but it isn't very, very bad.
So the two main cons here are that you have to actually place it on a particular part of the display and not, you can't just place it anywhere. So you have to look at the phone to place it in that part.
Well, after using the phone, after the first hour, honestly, I could unlock it even without looking at it. Because, you know, it's muscle memory. You kind of know where it is. And then you can just place your finger on it and unlock it. So I don't have to look at it all the time. But yeah, basically, if you are not trained, like for the first 1 hour, for me, I had to figure out where the display is. But after that, no, it's kind of instinct. Like on our phones with physical fingerprint scanners, you don't have to look, you kind of know where the fingerprint scanner is. So somewhat similar to that thing. You don't have to.
The reason
I
mentioned is that there's no tactile feedback on the screen, right?
There's absolutely no. So because most of our phones with physical scanners, they have a groove wherein the scanner sits a little lower, which is an indication for you to figure out where it is.
Yeah.
It's nothing of that sort on the in-display. It's a flat display. So, yeah, you may probably fail, but over a period of time, it becomes second nature.
Yeah, and the second thing is that it's a bit slow right now.
It is slow. Yeah. It is
so
definitely slow.
Maybe, you know, in compared a generation to, or two, this will be mainstream. Who knows? At this point, it's not very clear whether the likes of Apple will ever come back to fingerprint sensors. But, you know, that's something that only time will tell. It depends on how the technology evolves, I guess, and whether Apple sees fingerprints as the future of this biometrics.
But you know, looking at an in-display scanner that works and, you know, that's made it to a retail unit, like a production unit, kind of gives me hope that you will space, you know, you'll save some more space on the phone's body when you don't have to put a physical scanner. And probably you can also go for a lot bigger display, like thinner bezels and stuff in the future, because like companies are divided when it comes to the placement of the fingerprint scanner. A lot of companies had it on the front, like even OnePlus, right up till the OnePlus 5 wanted it. But with the bigger 18:9 displays, it was pretty much impossible to have it on the front. So an in-display fingerprint scanner probably might give it, you know, the option to go with like a clean metal back or a clean glass back. When, and you never know, the OnePlus 6T probably might have an in-display. Speculation again, but yeah.
Probably a little unlikely. I think it's going to be another year before this technology is perfected. What we saw with the Vivo Apex, the half screen thing, that's the first thing that needs to come in. At least, you know, bottom half of the screen should be able to unlock the phone. Second thing is speed. If it's not fast, then it's not there. It's useless. Yeah, just forget about it. So now, other things I noticed about the Vivo X21. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Like all Android phones with a notch, even this has a chin, which is like a black bar at the bottom, which is not the display. So now, OnePlus, the CEO of OnePlus, I think he explained this very well in an interview with The Verge, where he said that what Apple has done is gone for some really expensive components that sort of fold into the back of the phone so that they don't have to have a chin on the front. Apple's iPhone 10 does have some really thin bezels in all corners. But, you know, like if you look at the screen, it's pretty much starting at the top of the phone and ending at the bottom.
Yeah.
Whereas all Android phones have this black bar at the bottom.
Yeah.
So the Vivo X21 has a chin and also some quirky or maybe just strange decisions from Vivo. First is, why would you have a micro USB port in a phone that costs 36,000 rupees?
Well, I'm on the same side as you. I think a micro USB port at this price range, like anything for me, it's like anything that's priced over 18,000 rupees or 15,000 rupees should have a micro, should have a Type-C port. Because that looks like, that is the future. Like a lot of people would want to get rid of their micro USB cables and move to Type-C. And a phone that is priced at 35,000-36,000 rupees, well, a micro USB port is shameful.
Yeah, I mean, this is like saying that, okay, you have an electric car but you need a diesel generator to power it.
Yeah.
I mean, you, on the one hand, you want this in-display fingerprint sensor which is like cutting edge technology, but on the other hand, you're sticking to a legacy port like micro USB.
I think that is a very, very good you know, observation, wherein they should have not opted for it. Because if you are making a futuristic phone, why do you want a port from the past?
Yeah, exactly. It's when you have weird. It in the OnePlus 6, OnePlus, I think even the 5T, yeah. 5, all of them were on USB-C, right?
So I don't know what Vivo's explanation is for it. But yeah, talking about the bezel and the notch, well, yes, it has got thin bezels all around, but the bottom one is comparatively thicker. And yeah, they'll have to go the Apple way and have like a big display which kind of bends at the bottom, like a flexible display, and that would bump the price up. Already it's overpriced, so yeah. Like I don't see anyone buying like a 50 or a 60,000 rupee Vivo X21 with an edge-to-edge display. So yeah,
and a micro USB port. Don't forget that. All right, so the OnePlus CEO also said that what Apple did, their choice, it makes the phone thicker. So, yeah. In the interest of thinness, this is a decision they have made. But it sounds to me like a bit of a defensive apologist type of a statement where, you know, you can't make that technology. So, you're saying that, okay, we chose something thinner. Whereas everyone, you ask anyone, okay, if you're getting the notch, then they would rather not have the chin. This is something that's a very strange, you know, ironic thing overall.
Well, agreed. But, you know, it's let's not compare Apple to oranges primarily because if OnePlus were to do like a full length display when it curves around the edge, it will bump the price up considerably. Apple has the marketing and the positioning to demand that pricing, whereas Android smartphone makers, even Google for that matter, does not have that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, for making something of that sort to just purely compete with Apple and offer what Apple does is purely suicidal because the phones are not going to sell. Apple has the positioning and the brand power to pull people to their stores and line up in front of their stores and get it. And
as of now.
As of now. But yeah, Vivo or even OnePlus for that matter does not have the same pull. Well, it does have loyalty to some extent, wherein the CEO is saying that we have people who have used OnePlus devices still buying OnePlus devices right now, but it does not have the pull wherein people are going to pay exorbitant amounts of money. Like the entire promise of the OnePlus devices is that it is a lot of phone for a lot less. And it wouldn't be the case if it would follow Apple with an edge-to-edge display.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So I don't see it coming to any Android phone anytime soon because the entire kind of bargain for Android is you can get a lot done for a lot less. Like, you know, pay less money. So I don't see it honestly coming to
maybe
Android
2 phone. Years down the line.
Probably.
Yeah. Right now, it's probably too early.
Yeah.
So, coming back to the Vivo X21, interesting design decision to have the SIM card tray at the bottom of the phone.
Well, it's interesting because honestly, I don't recollect seeing a smartphone with a fingerprint, with a SIM tray slot at the bottom. Like, generally, you have it on the side. I don't know what is Vivo's logic behind it, or it's just like a design decision wherein they said, okay, nobody has done it. Let us be the first one to put a...
This is their way of testing that pop-up camera thing, which is, you know, coming up in a prototype phone.
Well, it can be, but again, like most SIM tray slots are on the left side of the device, wherein the top is pretty much blank. So I don't know why they have gone with it. See, because at the top, you still have the 3.5mm headphone jack. It's still there on the phone.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the side is completely blank unless they have like something occupying space where the SIM tray slot would have been. I don't see a point for them to kind of move it to the bottom. But again, it's not going to make a huge difference because then again, probably you'll use the SIM tray slot only when you need to change the SIM card. And that's not very, very often. So, yeah, you know, the positioning won't make much of a difference.
Yeah, and overall, the performance has been quite underwhelming with the Vivo X21 in our review.
Yeah, so I'm still in the process of testing it, but if you look at the specifications, it still has the Snapdragon 660 processor, which you've seen on the Nokia 7 Plus as well, which is a good device, and it runs stock Android, part of the Android One program. So, looking at the specifications, yes, it's decent. But when you compare it with other devices, purely on performance based, the OnePlus 6 destroys it. Even the Honor 10 that was recently launched, it's priced cheaper. It's somewhere around 32,000 rupees, 32,33. And that thing is a better performer. So, if you look at it from a performance aspect, the Vivo X21 is not like a powerhouse. It has decent performance, but for the same price, if you want like a lot of performance, like you want a very, very powerful processor, the OnePlus 6 is the way to go.
Yeah, and what about the camera and the battery life?
So the camera performance, well, I've clicked a lot of photos on it. I would want to look at it on a display and how it looks. But the one thing I observed with the camera is that it has the dual pixel technology. The sensor has a dual pixel technology that is there on Samsung phones, and it's very, very quick to focus. So it has face detection, autofocus. It has your dual pixel technology. So when you are when you point the camera, it's already focused. So it's very, very fast when it comes to focus. Image quality, I will need to check it thoroughly to kind of comment on it. But apart from that, focus issues, I haven't seen it. And even I think this does not have OIS. It only has EIS.
Yeah, so no optical image stabilization.
No optical image stabilization. But it can do 4K at 30 FPS, which is decent. But for the price, the OnePlus 6 does 4K 60.
Okay, and what about the battery life?
The battery life, well, this is a 3200 milliamp hour battery. I've run our standard battery loop test, and it's managed to clock like 14 hours, which is decent. But again, it's only playing video. While using it, I've got it off the charger yesterday at 4, and it's currently 11:50, and it's somewhere around 60% battery. I've not used it extensively because it was running benchmark tests. But battery, it looks like it pretty much depends on what you're doing with it. If you're the 660, as we've seen in the 7 Plus, is a good processor. Like it can be frugal. It pretty much depends on what you're doing with it. If you're gaming a lot, it will drain battery. But if you're using it lightly, well, you can manage a day of use easily.
All right then. So is there anything else you want to say about this phone?
Well, honestly, after using this phone for a while, I kind of think that the in-display fingerprint scanner is a good decision. Like, you know, kind of introducing it to the masses is a good move. But at a price of 35,000 rupees, you're not going to sell enough volumes to kind of,
bring the price down
anytime soon. You can wait and watch the X21 drop in price in probably sales or something of that sort. But at this price point, it is really a hard sell. Like, why would you pay 35,000 rupees for a phone with a micro USB port, for a phone with a fingerprint scanner that's slower than everything else which has a fingerprint, which has a physical scanner, which is faster, and when you have the OnePlus 6 in that exact same price point, like, why would you pay money? It's something I kind of don't get.
Yeah, and my larger complaint is that it seems as if Vivo has not really thought this phone out very well. It's put things in just for the sake of putting them in and being the first to market. Even if they work like reasonably well, like, you know, it's not like the thing doesn't work. Fingerprint sensor works, but I don't think overall the package is very well thought out, as we observed with the micro USB port.
Yeah, like I would think that if they would price it a little under 30, well, it gets a lot of heat away from it. Like, the OnePlus 6 goes out of the picture, the Honor 10 goes out.
And yeah, but then it's too close to the Vivo V9 then.
No, the Vivo V9 is again 22. Yeah. I think someone who looks at in-display fingerprint as a unique point probably will be happy to spend 8,000 rupees more compared to, you know, currently you'll have to spend as much as 12,000 rupees. So I think under 30 would be a better position for it, wherein it's not competing with the OnePlus 6. It's suicidal, dude.
Yeah, but I honestly don't think the price is going to fall anytime soon, because what we know about Oppo and Vivo and OnePlus is that they don't like doing many price cuts.
Yeah.
Because the company's strategy has so far been, at least Oppo and Vivo, has been to like target the offline market heavily across the country. And that is where the resources are going in, rather than cutting the prices of their phones and trying to make them reach more people. Yeah. So I think that's all we have for this episode of Orbital, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, if you like this episode, then do subscribe to us on iTunes, and on the Google app on your Android phone, just search for Orbital Podcast Gadget 360 or Transition Podcast Gadget 360 to check out our two podcasts. Transition is about gaming and pop culture, so if you care about that, then you should definitely subscribe to it. The full review of this phone is coming on gadget360.com very soon, so stay tuned for that. And if you have any questions, comments or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadget360.com. Thank you so much for listening.